knowing Jesus through his names. John 13 and Luke chapter 6. John 13 and Luke chapter 6. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Both of these passages are the words of Christ. John 13 and verse 13. Ye call me master, and here master means teacher, and Lord, which means master. Ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus made it clear. He said, when you call me Lord, you're saying it right. That's who I am. In Luke chapter 6, though, he says this. He asks a question. Jesus, and I believe he's asking all of us this question this morning. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord? In other words, you're emphatic about it. You say, Lord, Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Good question. Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Oxymoron. Doesn't make sense. If I'm Lord, you ought to be doing the things that I say. But Jesus said, you call me Lord and you say well. If you've called him Lord in this service, you said it right. You said it right. I want to preach this morning on the name of Jesus, the Lord, the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, prepare our hearts to receive from your word. Prepare our hearts to hear your voice. Prepare our hearts to seek your face. Prepare our hearts to be moved by the Holy Spirit. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to feel an increase in our love for you. Prepare our hearts, oh God, to receive this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I had an interesting time in public school, high school. I came from a town where the particular denomination that preaches once saved, always saved was enforced. We had the university there. Church on about every corner. Many of my friends went to those churches. Let me tell you something that I saw in high school. There'd be a high school student who claimed to be a Christian, but they were living in evident sin. They were cursing. They were fornicating. They would drink. They would smoke marijuana. But from my friends that were a part of the same denomination as this one, they would never say that that one was not really a Christian because they had been baptized. What they would say when one began to live that way was never, well, he's not a Christian, or he's turned from being a Christian, he's quit being a Christian. They would always say some form of this. Well, he shouldn't be drinking, he shouldn't be fornicating. It just goes to show you that although he accepted Jesus as his Savior, he never made Jesus his Lord. They honestly believed that you could accept Christ as Savior, but not live like he was the Lord. I believe that's a propagation of false doctrine, that you can be saved and do your own thing and live as you please. That contradicts the name of Jesus, the Lord. And many, even in our particular expression of faith, many would never say they believe this. They would never say, well, you can have Jesus as your Savior and not live like he's Lord. They would never say it, but they live that way. They say Jesus is my Savior, but they do not live as if he is their Lord. I want you to know it cannot be. All of the Bible, all of the New Testament will contest that you can take Jesus as your Savior and not make him your Lord. Amen. The New Testament has this message. If I do not accept Christ as my Lord, I have not in fact accepted him as my Savior. Amen. You see, we Christians, we learn to call Jesus Lord. And so that's what we call him. It's part of the Christian lingo. It's part of the Christian vocabulary. The word Lord is all through the Bible. It's in our Christian speaking in church. And so we have been conditioned to call Jesus Lord. But the question is Jesus' question. Why do you call me Lord if you do not the things which I say? Now, I know that some don't even bother to call Jesus Lord. But others call Jesus Lord, but it means nothing. It has no meaning. It has no content. And it certainly is not the reality of their relationship. But I'm going to preach this morning. The question is never ever, is Jesus Lord? Because he is Lord. The question isn't, is he Lord? The question is, have I made him my Lord? Do I live like he's my Lord? Do I worship like he is my Lord? Do I serve him like he is my Lord? People imagine today that they can serve God on their own terms. They can be a Christian on their own conditions. I'm telling you, if you're really a Christian, you never set the terms. You didn't come to God on your conditions. You came to God on his conditions, and you serve him on his terms. And so some are looking for a loophole to have Jesus as Savior and not as Lord. But I'm telling you, there's another group of people, and I believe I'm preaching to some. You love the Lord Jesus. You want to truly follow him. You want to gratefully please him. And you do more than call him Savior. You call him Lord, and you do more than call him Lord. You live for him. You serve him. You obey him. It's not just something you say with your lips. You say it with your life. He is my Lord. What does Lord mean? 740 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called Lord. You go back to not only the New Testament Christians, but the first century Christians, and Jesus is Lord. That phrase, though it was spoken in another language, Jesus is Lord, was their confession and their creed. What do I mean by confession? When they got saved, they publicly proclaimed it, Jesus is Lord. I wonder about some folks, they claim they got saved, but drink is still their Lord. And drugs is still their Lord. And illicit sex is still their Lord. It makes me doubt their salvation because I've read the New Testament. When they got saved, they proclaimed Jesus is Lord. It was not only their confession, it was their creed. What do I mean by that? It was their doctrine. You asked them what they believed. What do you as a church believe? And they would start the list of their doctrine. Jesus is Lord. It wasn't just their confession and their creed. It was in every song. We have some examples in the New Testament. But almost every song that they sang, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord. But it wasn't just their confession. It wasn't just their creed. It wasn't just their worship singing. It was their life. They lived. They lived it. I said they lived it. Jesus is Lord. I don't want to just dance around the fact I have things written here. I need to preach, and I might get in trouble getting off track here. Amen. But if you were honest this morning, you get to thinking about it. Those that call themselves Christians at your workplace, those that call themselves Christian at your school, those that call themselves Christian in your neighborhood, amen, the way they live is indistinguishable between the way the world lives. Amen. They drink the same alcoholic beverages. Amen. They go to the same parties. The same filthy curse words come out of their mouth. Amen. They still fornicate, commit adultery, watch things that are the filth of this world and the supernatural evils that God, and yet they call themselves a Christians. A Christian, it must be contested. I can call him Master and Lord. I can call him Savior. But if I don't live like he's my Lord, he's not my Lord. If he's my Lord, I live like it. I said, I live like it. Amen. Amen. We use the name Lord, but I'm afraid its meaning, its import, its connotations have been lost, in part because we now live in a society where we don't call people Lord anymore. And so we don't get the picture that Jesus was using when he said, I am Lord. For centuries and millennium, amen, other people were called Lord in that society, and people got it. But we live in a democracy, thank God, a republic democracy, in which both by experience and reality, we are removed from an understanding of what a Lord is. Amen. Lord has come even in places that use it, like Britain. It's become just a term for sir or mister, a polite term, a respectful term. It can still mean even a hereditary or a traditional title. They're Lord. We have the House of Lords in Great Britain. But we've lost what it was meant. At one time, a Lord was a word that you used for a king. You called a king Lord. You called a master Lord. You called a wealthy landowner Lord. You called the ruler of the town Lord. Amen. Each of those positions, king and master and wealthy landowner, were positions of absolute, unquestionable power and authority. Therefore, you called the one that had the authority of your life, the power over your life, the ownership of your life. You called them Lord. We've lost that import. That's why we're revisiting it. What does Lord mean? I don't want to bore you with this, but I've got to tell you to make some important points. Amen. The original in your New Testament, when you read Lord, amen, the word behind it was kurios. Kurios. A kurios in that world was the one that had authority and power. A kurios was the one who owned it. Amen. If they owned it, that was the kurios. The kurios was the one that others were subject to. It was the one that others were obedient to. And then the kurios was the master of the slaves. The one that not only owned the slaves, he controlled the slaves. However, in Bible times, kurios or Lord was used. It was always a term of respect and reverence to the one who was an authority. Even what then, let's conclude, what then to New Testament Christians did it mean to call Jesus Lord? And what should it mean to us to call him Lord? I want to give you three things. It's much more extensive, but I want to give you three things that it means to call Jesus Lord. First of all, Lord means that Jesus is God. Amen. Lord means that Jesus is God. Amen. If I bored you with that kurios, amen, let me, while we're there, bore you a little bit more, because this is important. That Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and in Hebrew, the name of God was Jehovah. But some years before Christ was born, even to reach a wider audience, and there's other factors here about the Greeks taking over the world, but it was decided that the Old Testament Hebrew should be translated into the Greek. And so 70 translators sat down to do that. So when they got to the name of God, Jehovah, they had a question. What Greek word should we use to translate Jehovah, which means God? And the 70 agreed, when we go from the Hebrew to the Greek, we will translate God's name, Jehovah. We will translate it, kurios. And so, when here, the time of Jesus, the time of the disciples, when they unrolled their scrolls of the Old Testament and read it in Greek, everywhere that the Hebrew said Jehovah, amen, those of Jesus' time, they read kurios. Now we have another seemingly question or dilemma. Amen. Here is Jesus. He has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And the apostles are going to write about him in what will become our New Testament. And so the disciples said, the apostles, what will we say that Jesus said when he said, I am the Lord? What Greek word will we use? Guess what word they chose? They chose the word kurios. I mean, Jesus, they said, is kurios. Let's look at that then. Let me try to do this from your perspective. Old Testament Hebrew, God's name is Jehovah. That's translated to kurios. Here is Jesus. What do we call him when we call him Lord in the New Testament? We call him kurios. I'm telling you, there's only one conclusion. The apostles believed it. Jesus is the one that declared it. When you call Jesus Lord, you're calling him Jehovah. Amen. He is the Son, and with the Father and the Holy Spirit, who are Jehovah, Jesus is God. I said, Jesus is God. There's no other reason you'd use the same word for Jesus, kurios, that you use for God in the Old Testament, kurios, except that they are the same. Jesus, I said, Jesus, I said, Jesus is God. He's not just a good example. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just another prophet on the roster of many prophets. Even Jesus, though he became a man, he is God, completely God, holy God, undeniably God, unreservably God, unquestionably God. He is God. When we call him Lord, we call him kurios, we call him God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You may not think it matters till you consider that many are involved in false doctrine on that very point. And so if God is the ultimate authority, if God has the final word, if God is the ruler of the over all, if God is creator, sovereign, and judge, and his name is Jehovah, and Jehovah is kurios, and kurios is Jesus, then Jesus is the sovereign. Jesus is over all. Jesus is a creator. Jesus will be the judge. That's what we mean when we call him Lord. You say, I don't know if I believe it. Well, let me tell you about another unbeliever. Him and Thomas missed church. Things will happen when you miss church. He wasn't there when Jesus on resurrection night manifested himself to the other disciples. It says Thomas was not among them. They went and told Thomas. Thomas said, except I see in his hand the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails, and unless I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. By the way, let me tell you something. There's some folks here this morning. It's that you, not that you cannot believe. It's not that you're so intelligent you can't believe. It's that you're like Thomas. You've made up your mind. You don't want to believe. He said, I'm not going to believe except those things happen. Oh, I thank God that Jesus comes and meets us at the point of our faith, because the scripture said, and 8 days later, the disciples were within, and this time Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, just like the first time, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. And then he pinpointed Thomas. He said, Thomas, who told Jesus? Who told Jesus what Thomas had said? Oh, he knows all things. And Jesus turned his attention to Thomas. He said, go ahead, Thomas. Put your finger in the print of the nails. Thomas, thrust your hand in my side and be not faithless, but believing. Amen. You never read where Thomas reached out his finger. You never read where Thomas reached. And oh, that declaration was enough. And what did Thomas do? He fell down. Here it is. And he said, my kurios, my Lord, and what? My God, Thomas got it. To call him Lord is to call him God. Oh, hallelujah. And the interesting thing is, Thomas is calling the one God that's got the scars and the holes in his hand and the scar in his, he's calling the one God who died on the cross. Hallelujah. I'm just here to say, when we call Jesus Lord, we're calling him God. What does it mean? Lord means Jesus is master. He's the boss. He's the boss. I may preach here a little longer, but I just want to remind you of Paul, who was called Saul, who went about persecuting the church. He was on the list of terrorists. He was one of the number one on the FBI list of terrorists against the nation of Israel. He has letters from the high priest to seek out those in the church of Damascus who named the name of Christ and to harass them and persecute them and throw them in prison. But God had other plans for Saul. Aren't you glad God had other plans for you? Did you hear what God has other plans for you? And there on that road to Damascus, a light brighter than the noonday sun began to shine. And Paul was stricken down. And what did he say? Ooh, what an experience. No. You know what the first words out of his mouth? What did he say? He said, Lord, Lord, who art thou, Lord? Oh, he's not even yet a Christian, but he recognizes the Lord when he sees him. And yet many Christians have never yet recognized him as Lord of their lives. But in the first second that Paul encountered him, he came to one conclusion. He is Lord. I said he's a terrorist, but he's already calling Jesus Lord. Lord, who? And the answer was, the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And you know what Paul said? Oh, you're Jesus. Help me with my self-esteem, please. Oh, you're Jesus. Make me wealthy. Oh, you're Jesus. Heal this ingrown toe. Amen. Oh, you're Jesus. I'd sure like a new donkey. This one's been going awfully slow. Amen. Is that the first thing Saul said? What's the first thing he said? Does anyone know what he said? The first thing he said was, Lord, what will you have me to do? He got it. Jesus is Lord. That means he's my boss. Oh, hallelujah. I said, that means he's my boss. Hallelujah. I said, that means he's my master. Hallelujah. Paul said, and as he did in other epistles, but he said, he began Romans chapter 1, that epistle, he identified himself as Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Since I've already bored you a little bit, let me tell you what the word servant means. It means doula. Amen. Paul came to the conclusion, if he's kurios, I'm doulos. If he's kurios, if he's Lord, I'm doulos. I'm servant. I'm going to do what he'd have me to do. Oh, do you call him Lord? If you call him Lord, then you must call yourself doulos. You're not here to serve God on your own terms. Hallelujah. I've watched folks talk all the way through a church service. No need deceiving yourself. He's not your Lord. If he's your Lord, you'd be listening to his word, saying, what wilt thou have me to do? If you're curious, I'm doulos. I am a servant. Oh, I wish I had time to preach about that, because he went a little further. He said, I'm not just a servant. I'm a love slave. I do it willingly. I serve him because I love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a love. I'm an agape doulos. I'm a love slave. Oh, I said I wouldn't preach it. But back then in the Old Testament, there came a time they had to let the slaves go. Amen. The servants go. I went to you and said, go. You're free to go. You said, no, master, I love you. I love serving you. I love being in your house. Make me a love slave. And if that was your desire, you were taken out to the town.
taken out to a wooden pole. And up against that wooden pole, you put your ear. And I pierced your ear. That marks you as a love slave. I'm telling you, if you call him Lord, it's because you become a love slave. How did that happen? One day you knelt down at the wood of that cross, had your heart pierced by the grace and the love and the mercy of God, and you got up from the cross saying, I am a love slave. I call him Lord. He's Lord of my life. What does it mean? Lord means Jesus is owner. I'm not going to preach here. I'll read some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all his. I said I wouldn't preach. I can't. I shouldn't quit. I should quit lying as I'm preaching. I don't mean to. It just starts coming. It ain't in the notes. But Satan there at the temptation took him up to the high place and said, look out here, Jesus. If you'll worship me, all this will be yours. Satan, he's a liar and a deceiver. He's trying to offer Jesus what was already Jesus's. Hallelujah. Same thing will happen to you. Quit serving Jesus. You can have all that out there. I want to tell you what you need to realize. If you serve Jesus, that's already all yours. One day you'll rule with him. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It means that he is the owner of it all. Amen. To call him Lord, it means that he is God. It means that he's the boss. It means that he's the owner. Let's summarize. Lord defines the relationship between Jesus and his followers. If he's Lord, I should obey him and serve him with all my heart. If he's to be served, amen, then he is to be served knowing that one day he will judge the way I serve him. I said, if he's Lord, he's to be served. If he's to be served, he's to be served knowing that one day, amen, he will judge the servant for their service. There is no question that Jesus is Lord in heaven. There's no question that Jesus is Lord over all creation. There's no question that Jesus is Lord over every angel. There's no question that Jesus is Lord over demons and devils. There's no question that Jesus is Lord over the UN and the United States of America and every other government. There's no question that he is Lord over every planet, every star, every atom, every electron. The only question is this: have I made him my Lord? That's the only question. Is he my Lord? What does making him my Lord mean for me today? Am I being truthful when I call Jesus Lord? Amen. If I am, I am saying he's the Lord of me. He has claim to my life. He owns me, and my future is his. Or to put it in three words, when I call him Lord, I am saying I am his. Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I've got, I am his. My family, hallelujah, everything is his. That's what it means to call him Lord. My time is his. My resources are his. If you don't know what that resource is, my money, my money's his. My job is his. My vehicle is his. Just remind me of a cartoon I saw this week. It said a certain church showed a man coming up out of the water of a baptistry, and he's got his wallet with him, and water's dripping off him and his wallet. It said this church, whatever it used, has started experiencing revival since folks started taking their wallet with them when they got baptized. I'm telling you, if he is Lord, he's Lord of my money. Hallelujah. I said he's Lord of my money. He's the Lord of my emotions. I don't just fly off the handle when I want to fly off the handle because he's my Lord. Oh, come on. Now, if he's my Lord, he's the Lord of my thoughts. Just because I have a wrong thought about my brother, just because I have a lustful thought, I don't kowtow to it, I don't entertain it. He's Lord of my thoughts. I take him unto the obedience of the captivity of Jesus Christ. If he's Lord, he is the Lord of my body. He's the Lord of what I put in it. He's the Lord what I do to it. He's the Lord what I wear. He's the Lord of my body. Amen. If he is Lord, he is the Lord of my spirit. I'm not interested in demons. I'm not interested in vampires and zombies and other spiritual things of evil. Because if he is my Lord, he is the Lord of my spirit. I'm going to worship him with my spirit. I'm going to serve him with my spirit. Amen. If he is Lord, he is the Lord of my play. He is the Lord of my work. He is the Lord of my entertainment. He is the Lord of my music choices. He is the Lord of my entertainment movie watching. He is the Lord of my relationships. I'm telling you, that's what it means to us today. If I call him Lord, I'm telling you, a servant never picks or chooses which instructions of the Lord he wants to follow. A servant never feels like he has the right to veto what the Lord says. He just obeys and says, you are my Lord. Hallelujah. We'll just pause and praise him this morning. Oh, come on, you're worshiping your Lord. Even that false doctrine I began with, that one can make Jesus Savior and not make him Lord, concedes that they can tell a difference between just claiming him as Savior and claiming him as Lord. They even understood to call him Lord means to surrender my will to his. It's my living as he'd have me live. It's my obeying his word. And so could I summarize, what does it mean to make him Lord? It means that a Christian life should only be a life lived under the lordship of Jesus. It was when my kids were quite young, I guess they got it off a movie, but that expression, you're not the boss of me. Get two siblings in a quibble, and one would say to the other, you're not the boss of me. I wish somebody would say that to Satan. You're not the boss of me. I wish somebody would say it to this world. You're not the boss. I wish somebody would say that to their carnal person. You're not the boss of me. I've been born again. Jesus is the boss of me. Amen. I marvel. Amen. I've never made any apologies, but I've tried to put it so it'd be diplomatic. But I want to warn you, much what you see on religious television, some of what you hear on religious radio is false doctrine. We could talk about it all day, but let me give it to you very succinctly. The New Testament Christians understood that Jesus is Lord and I'm a servant. The false doctrine makes me the Lord and Jesus my servant. They used to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now they looked at Jesus and they say, now that I'm saved, Lord, here's what you're going to do for me. Because I know how to manipulate faith. And I'm going to make you do some things, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, that's false doctrine. That'll get you off in a wrong place in a hurry. Hallelujah. I challenge you. When you hear all of that, amen, ask yourself the question when you hear that teaching, have they made Jesus Lord with that teaching? I'm telling you something. Jesus is not interested in being your genie out of the bottle. You old timers will know what that is. Amen. Here's the genie. I'm here, Master. He's not interested in being the genie out of the bottle. He will be Lord or he will be nothing. Amen. He is the boss of me. Amen. Jesus didn't come just to make me happy, wealthy, and blessed, and a success. Jesus came to be my Lord, and I am his servant. Oh, hallelujah. I said, how we used to sing, if we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. If we do his good will, he abides with us still. If we'll only trust, oh, and obey. Glory to God. They've made something else in the modern church. Happiness. Could I tell you, you'll never find joy like the joy of knowing your heart, your life, your soul, your mind is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you're not marching under your own commands. You're doing what Jesus would have you to do. You're following Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, have you made him Lord? Hallelujah. Is he Lord of your life? Hallelujah. Lord, under his lordship. Amen. Amen. He will be my Lord, or he'll be nothing in my life. Amen. Jesus is our friend. Thank God. But he's more than my friend. He's my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank God. But he's more than my Savior. He's my Lord. Jesus is our healer of our bodies. Thank God. But he's more than a healer. He's my Lord. Jesus is not just a get out of the hell card freely. Jesus is not just a solution to my problem. Jesus is not just the meeting of my needs. Jesus is not just the answer to my problems, and he may be all of those. But I want to tell you, amen, something else here. Jesus is not just a better buzz than alcohol or a better high than drugs. Oh, he is Lord. I said he's my boss. He owns me. Amen. If you believe that, you'll give him your body and spirit, which are not yours, but they have been bought with a price. Oh, hallelujah. That's how I know I'm his. I've been purchased by his own blood. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed from sin. Glory to God. He is Lord. Everything that I am. Hallelujah. They said it years ago. I'll say it one more time. And it's a fact. If he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord at all. Amen. Oh, well, I want to tell you, I got to go on, but let me tell you one more thing. But if he's my Lord, then he's the Lord of my problems. And he's the Lord of my financial difficulties. And he's the Lord of my familial situation. If he's my Lord, he's the Lord of the battle that I'm in. If he's my Lord, he's the Lord of the valley I'm walking through. If he's my Lord, he's Lord over the trial. If he's my Lord, he's Lord over the temptation. If he's my Lord, when Satan comes talking, he's Lord over Satan. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you say, look at all I got to give up. If I make him my boss, my owner, no, sir. If he's my owner, then everything I face is his. Just like being a child at home. Amen. For that little dependent child, that child's problems are the parents' problems. That child's, oh, come on, church. Can you call him Lord? How many found yourself uttering it even as I preach? He's Lord. He's my Lord. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, I'd like to see somebody just fall down. I'd like to see a young person run to the altar this morning. See, I've been trying to do my own thing, live my own life, but I'm going to run down here and say, Jesus, you're my Lord, and I'm not just saying it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to live it. He is my Lord. He is Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Do you feel his presence here? Amen. I've got to quit, so let me tell you one last thing. I want to talk about what having him as my Lord will mean in the end. When we get to the end time, what will it mean that I have called him Lord? What will it matter if I call him Lord? I'd be the first to say it'll matter in this life whether you call him Lord or not, but it will certainly matter in the end, whether your end is death or whether the end is the end of the Lord and or the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. It'll matter in the end whether we have called him Lord. I know one thing, since Jesus is coming, and Scripture is clear. When they talk about Jesus coming, they said the Lord is coming. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ. Who does say he's coming? If it's the Lord that's coming, I want to be living like he's my Lord when he comes. If the king is coming, I want to be living like he's my king when he comes. Oh, come on, church. I said, it's the Lord that's coming. I want to be living like he's the Lord when he gets here. Amen. Why will it make a difference? Because Paul is emphatic. Amen. Everybody everybody, male, female, young, old, white, black, everyone, when he comes, is going to bow his knee before Jesus and call him Lord. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Have you, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess.
What?
Well, they're going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes that day's coming? I said every knee. Hallelujah. Hitler's going to be on his knees. Mussolini's going to be, Saddam Hussein's going to be on his knees. Oh, come on now. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want to tell you, listen, there are 7 billion people plus living right now. Let me tell you something about every one of those 7 billion. Every one of them are going to bow their knees and confess that Jesus is Lord. But they do have a decision. Every one of those 7 billion have a decision, like everybody in this room. There's one or two times you can bow and call him Lord. Right now, before he comes, before death, before the end of the world, right now, you can willingly, I said right now, you can willingly and truthfully testify of your life and bow and say, Jesus is Lord. But if you don't choose willingly to do it now, there will be one day you will be forced, you will be compelled to kneel and admit and concede that Jesus is Lord. Which group do you want to be in? I want to be in the group that right here, right now, I tell you one thing, when he comes, if he should come in the next 5 seconds, I want to be one of those. Maybe not on my physical needs, but in my heart, that I'm a bowing and I'm saying, you are Lord. I don't want to just say it, but if he should come tomorrow, when he comes, I want to be living like he's my Lord. I don't want to be one of those that when the awareness of what I've missed, the awareness of what I've refused sinks in, the awareness of what's happening in the universe comes to reality. I don't want to be one of those that at that point kneels and says he's Lord. Oh, can you call him Lord this morning? And remember his question, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I've said? Even if you truly call him Lord, you'll do what he wants you to do. Glory to God. We often interpret that about the being a missionary or an evangelist or going somewhere. Amen. I wish people would just make him Lord right here at Union Road during service time. Make him Lord when you go home to your house. Make him Lord at your workplace. Make him Lord at your school. Oh, you call him Lord, let him be Lord. Oh, glory to God. I said, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Amen. I got to thinking about that. I want to be amongst that number that bows as a loyal follower, not one of those that'll bow as a condemned rebel. I want to be one of those that bows as the part of the conquering army to my Lord General, instead of one of those bowing because they've been conquered and overcome. I want to be one of those bowed to receive a reward, not one of those bowed to hear the sentence, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I want to be one of those that's bowing in adoration and worship, and not bowing in concession and admission. Oh, hallelujah. I will serve him because I love him. He is Lord. Oh, I've never addressed it. It's not in the notes. But we got to remember one thing. The reason we feel that compulsion is because he gave everything for us. I said he gave everything for us. He left the splendor of glory. He suffered. He bled. He died. He bore our sins. He paid our penalty. Oh, hallelujah. That's why we call him Lord. If Jesus be God and died for me, then there's not too great of a price to pay in making him Lord. Would you come, music? What does it mean having him as my Lord in the end?
The Lord indisputably is coming both to reward and to punish. Through parable in Matthew 24. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord, my Kyrios delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken. You know that I just read, I've seen a lot of Christians do that. They didn't used to live that way, but they say, well, you know, they say Jesus is coming, he hasn't come. And they begin to eat and drink with the drunken. Look, verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When he comes, those who have not made him Lord are going to suffer. And suffer where you say, oh, they don't preach that anymore. I must. It's still in the Bible. Those that don't call him Lord, they're going to hear, depart, depart, suffer. But when the Lord comes, won't it be wonderful to know that you have lived and confessed that he is Lord? Because the story is going to be different. I'll just tell you again from the parable. His Lord said unto him, his Kyrios said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. I don't need to read the rest right now. I just want to ask, which do you want to hear? Depart from me or well done? That depends on us. Do we make him Lord of our life? I don't have time to go into it this morning. I'm going to close. I'm in the process of closing. Years ago in the bulletin, I wrote a little article. The Colosseum, in many ways, was much easier. Now, I was referring to the time that if you confess Christ, they'd take you to the Colosseum and throw you to the lions. Because the question was very, very clear to you and to everybody else. Will you make Jesus Lord? Now the question isn't so clear to folks. People argue about any and everything. You can say something's sin and they'll immediately begin to argue with you. You say drinking's, getting drunk's wrong. Well, I know folks that are Christians and they get drunk. Everybody wants to argue. I'm going to tell you what would solve the argument in a hurry. Take you to the Colosseum where the lions are growling and ask you, is Jesus Lord? It'll settle the question in a hurry. You say, we're so far removed from that. Talk to Christians in Iran. They're there. You don't claim to be a Christian and see how close you can live to Islam or how close you can live to the world. When you claim to be a Christian, you're disowned by your family. And if they catch you, they beat you, or at worst, they kill you. A lot of these things that we want to argue about and say, well, you know, a Christian can do those and still be saved. Is that really the question? Can a Christian do those and still? Is that the question? No. The question is, can a servant do that and still call him Lord? Those are some very personal things. Hallelujah. Oh, I want that attitude. It says, yes, Lord. What would I have me to do? And so early on, Christianity's just started. It's not funny what I'm talking about this morning. I want you to know that. Early on, one of those Caesars trying to wipe out Christianity made a new decree. Caesar is Lord. And when any of you citizens meet anybody on the streets, kind of back with like Hitler's salute, if you greet one another, then that greeting must be reciprocated. And the greeting is this: Caesar is Lord. And so I meet Brother Mark on the street and I say, Caesar is Lord. And you say,
Caesar is Lord.
But there was a group that didn't respond.
They didn't initiate it, and they didn't reciprocate. And that was the true believers of Jesus Christ. And this story goes way back to the first century. A man coming in from the country, walking the road, encounters two Roman soldiers. And as they are passing on the road, the Roman soldier says, "Caesar is Lord!" And the Christian bowed his head, trying not to make eye contact, and acted as if he didn't hear them. But as he walked by, they grabbed his arm. And they said, "Caesar is Lord!" And he was silent. And they said it a third time. They said, "Caesar is Lord!" And he says, "No, Jesus is Lord." Angered them. They hauled him into town, arrested him, hauled him to the authorities. And the authorities said, "Take him and all his family to the Colosseum." They got them out on some type of platform on the edge of the Colosseum. And before the crowd yelling for blood, before the growling lions in the floor of the Colosseum, they said, "We're going to give you another opportunity. Caesar is Lord." And the man shook his head and said, "No, Jesus is Lord." They took his youngest son. They took Preston. Threw him to the lions, the awful sound as they devoured his son. Mom's weeping, dad's weeping, the other kids are screaming. And they said, "Okay, let's do this again. Caesar's Lord." The man says, "No, Jesus is Lord." They took the second son, the third son. After the third son, even the authorities were becoming moved and disturbed. And one of them came up to the man and said, "Look, you don't even have to mean it." Here we are in our age. "You don't even have to mean it. Just say it and go on and serve your Jesus. Just say, 'Caesar's Lord.'" And the man said, "I can't, because he's not my Lord." Amen. They proceeded to take the rest of his children, then his wife, and then him, and throw them to the lions. But that man died saying, "Jesus is Lord." And it looked like defeat, but I'm convinced of one thing. Throughout heaven that day, they heard a triumphant declaration, "Jesus is Lord." The question is this morning, is he your Lord? If it comes down to your faith or your persecution, will you call him Lord? You say, "Certainly." And you don't call him Lord when things are going relatively well. You're not calling him Lord when it's easy to serve God and you have the freedoms of worship. I don't think so. Oh, how many wants a relationship with him where you call him Lord? Oh, let's just stand. Why don't you just stand, lift your heart, and just say, "Jesus, you are Lord." Would you all over the building? Come on, honor him in this place. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, can you do it? If you can, do it without inhibition. If you can, if you know it, if it's a fact of your life, lift your hands and say, "Jesus." Oh, come on, let's honor him. "Lord, I thank you. You shed your blood to purchase me. You gave your all for my salvation. You gave your all." This is it right here. This is the whole altar call. It's going to take honesty and truthfulness. We don't have a Colosseum. We got something better. We've got an altar to pray in. If you're here this morning, you'd say, "In all honesty, I cannot say I'm living like he's my Lord. But I want to leave here not only confessing it, but living like he's my Lord." If that's you, you just be real honest. Say, I'm not really at that place where I'm living like he's my Lord. That I can be honest when I say, but I want to leave here being able to honestly say, "Jesus, you're my Lord." If that's you, go ahead and come. Don't hesitate. If he's your Lord and you want him to be your Lord, you'll let nothing stop you. You'll head this way and bow and freely of your own will say, "You're my Lord." Hallelujah. 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 God bless these ladies. Are there some that will come and pray with them? Are there others you'd like to come? What about it, young folks? What if this were the Colosseum? Thank God it's not. But what if it were? Can you call him Lord? Can you call him Lord? Can you call him Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you sing it this morning? Can you sing it this morning? If you can, sing it with us.
He is Lord.
Oh, come on and sing it.
Oh. He is Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Can you sing it this morning? Every knee.
Every knee shall bow.
Every tongue.
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I do have things in my notes, but it was never in my notes. I felt the Holy Spirit moving through me when I said it'd be so wonderful just to see some young person. I don't have to limit it to that, but some person just break loose and run to this altar and say, I want to make him Lord. But I'm praying right now that somebody would break. Amen. It's a time for truthfulness and honesty. Amen. Amen. Is he your Lord? Amen. That means he's the boss of you. That means he owns you. He has your future. Everything about you is his. Can you say he's Lord? If not, I would just come and kneel. That's one good thing about an altar. You're making a statement. I'm bowing before him. I'm surrendering to him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing when you have surrendered your heart, your life, your mind, surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. I want us to sing it again. Amen. If you can't honestly say, he's my Lord, would you come and pray? Don't hesitate. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you come right now? Can't honestly say he's my Lord.
He is Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He has risen from the dead, and he is
the preacher's
Lord.
Through. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Listen to the Spirit of God. Church to come for whatever reasons if they'd like to pray. But if you would really like to make that confession this morning that he's Lord, amen, try to beat the rest of them down here for your own good, would you? Amen. All right, church, if you'd like to come and kneel for any reason, come. Amen. Pray for these that have come, but come and kneel. Amen. Amen. It hurts none of us to make it a fresh confession. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's Lord of my work. He's Lord of my home. He's Lord of my entertainment. He's Lord of my body. He's Lord of my mind. He's Lord of my spirit. He's Lord of my money. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Oh, isn't that personal? Isn't that personal? Jesus, his proper name, is my Lord. That's his position in my life. Jesus, do you want to know him through his names? Call him Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Won't you let your heart break before him in love, submission?
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus. You gave your all for me. You gave your life for me. You are Lord. You are Lord.